This is URN.
So the news about regarding the Holocaust is that far-right activity on university campuses is rising and Holocaust denial is becoming more prevalent among the younger generation. The warnings come as data collected by The Independent shows that anti-Semitic incidents were reported at 19 UK universities between 2015 and 2017, with the number nearly tripling in 2 years. This includes Holocaust denial leaflets and posters, as well as anti-Semitic graffiti, including swastikas, emerging on UK campuses across the UK. As more far-right activists target students. So obviously, from the outset, we can say this is not a good thing and quite concerning. And it comes as news on, I think it was yesterday, that 1 in 20 British people deny the Holocaust happened. Yeah. So I kind of just wanted to open it up and say, where is this coming from? Has this increased?
First of all, as you know, I know Tamara does a history degree as well. Is very much seen as a universal historical fact that the Holocaust took place, and most historians who argue against it are very discredited. There's so much evidence for it. There's so much evidence. You've seen all the photos. You've seen all the written reports. You know, Anne Frank just didn't stop writing her diary. You know, these things really did happen. And I think for people to argue that it didn't happen is a thinly veiled guise for anti-Semitism, to be honest. And
yeah,
it's just, you know, it's one of the most horrific historical events that took place. There's been many genocides in history. You know, you look at the Rwandan genocide in the 90s, which was horrific. Stalin obviously killed so many of his own people. But I mean, the Holocaust stands out because they killed so many people in such a short space of time, in a couple of years. And I think the intensity of it, and also the British and American soldiers and the Russian soldiers that liberated those camps found those horrific sites, and that really put it into the public consciousness. And I think it is just people who deny it, in my book, you know, you're either deluded or ridiculously anti-Semitic. And if you argue otherwise, then evidently you've not read the report. You're not seeing the fact that before the Second World War, there were 6 million Jews in Poland. After the Second World War, there were 5,000 left. The rest had died or fled. That gives you a context of the Holocaust.
It's interesting in a way, isn't it? Obviously, Holocaust denial is horrific. But when you list those numbers like that, you can almost understand how it is unbelievable, because it was so shocking. And you know, it's something that has to be continuously restated.
And it's not scary, but it's not like, you know, almost it sounds wrong, but say 5,000 people have been killed in an atrocity. It's obviously horrific, as you know, all human life is such a being lost is a tragedy, but the scale of the Holocaust with millions dying is undeniable.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is, obviously, you hear Holocaust denial and you imagine kind of Nazi-esque people just outright refusing to believe that it happened. But I think a lot of the way this denial is manifesting itself is in more of a kind of trivialisation of the Holocaust, and is in both people being uninformed about the extent of it, so maybe like minimising just how many people they think died, etc., or actually making jokes about, you know, anti-Semitic jokes, which are, it's, as you say, a thin veil for anti-Semitism. So I think it's maybe, I suppose, as you increasingly are distanced from it through time, it's how we maintain it as something that was severe and horrific rather than to be trivialised.
I think the thing is, according to the research, one in 20 people to deny the Holocaust I find that quite hard to believe. But that's almost suggesting that 1 in 20 people in this country have far right wing views. And I don't want to accept that. That makes me a bit sad.
Mm. Yeah, it's quite scary to think about.
Yeah, to think that 1 in 20 people have what can only be described as an anti-Semitic viewpoint. Yeah. It's quite a scary thing.
I think
thing.
Like, that's why it's important that we still have things like Holocaust Memorial Day and things like this, because there are so many people who like won't understand the full extent of it, or will maybe not be educated enough on these like events to actually understand the extent of them. And then a lot of people can get swept up in things like far-right views, which can easily just like detract them from what's actually happening. So I think it's really important to just keep remembering and like teaching history.
Yeah, I think particularly as kind of the people who directly experienced the Holocaust leave us. There's just less people who we can have their direct experiences of it. So to continue to tell their stories is massively important. And I know, I think Jacob Collier from the SU and I think Katie Club as well, both went on a trip to Auschwitz and to see some of the concentration camps as part of Holocaust Memorial Day, and to kind of continue to raise awareness about it, which I think is important.
I think as well, if you think about the passage of time, I think naturally things become, as time passes, things become less prevalent in the mind. And that's okay with some historical events. It's okay for some historical events to... But this is one that, A, isn't very funny, so people shouldn't be joking about. Mm-hmm. And B, marks... You know, it was a turning point in Europe. Europe had been at war for hundreds and hundreds of years before the end of World War II. And I think, I don't know, I don't like the fact that 1 in 20 people seem to be anti-Semitic. That doesn't work for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's more concerning is that they're not intentionally anti-Semitic, as in when they make a joke about the Holocaust or about Jewish people, racism towards Jewish people is less kind of obvious in a way, I suppose.
It's interesting you touched upon that, Al. It's just because if you look at history, throughout Europe, going back centuries, there's always been a bit of a history of anti-Semitism towards Jewish people. And that's one respect that Hitler was clever in, is to essentially tapped into that ideology and that traditional sort of distrust of Jewish people. And I think that does still exist today, you know, in modern-day society, which is really sad.
I think it's very easy to use certain groups of people as scapegoats, particularly minority groups, and
we see it happening now with refugees, don't we?
Exactly. And I think as well, the thing with a lot of the anti-Semitism comes from a place of, these people have more than me, these people are, obviously this is all stereotypes, and so it's that immediate kind of villainising of Jewish people for whatever. And so it comes from a place of insecurity, and people prey on that.
I think laymen as well. I mean, I've studied law and politics and we've had to look at stuff like this, but I think the problem I have with that survey as well is that I'm not sure that many people on the streets in the UK, certainly, are even sure what the difference is between Israel and Judaism. Mm-hmm. That we were saying off air earlier that there's one thing to be anti-Israel, there's another thing to be anti-Jewish. And unfortunately, it's a mixed mash. It's very difficult to criticise Israel without being accused of being anti-Semitic. And I think it should be okay to criticise a state, but not its peoples.
Yeah, I think it's obviously very difficult when a religion is tied so intricately into the identity of a state. But I suppose it is about education and about having these conversations from a young age. Like, I know my religious studies education at school was awful. Like, it was Christianity and a bit of other things.
I think we had Christianity and a bit of Sikhism. And, anything I've learned about Judaism, Islam, Hinduism has been from sort of general knowledge or just meeting people from those religions. Yeah. It's not been through education. And I think that that's the same with the Holocaust. You know, I would I wouldn't have learned about the Holocaust unless I did history GCSE, A level, and then a degree.
Yeah, that's very true. Neither would I. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You wouldn't learn about it otherwise. And I think that's why in primary schools it is important to teach people about respecting other religions and understanding these historical events. Because you don't have to necessarily say all the gruesome details about how Jewish people were tortured, etc. But you can sort of give a bit of an introduction to what might have happened to primary school children, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It just comes down to the importance of history in general, doesn't it, really? I think...
And most important degree out there.
Yeah, there we go. Well, it particularly kind of the history that we are taught and the history that we are not taught, and the curriculum. That's obviously a much bigger issue, but... Whether we should have to carry history on to a higher level.
Part of the problem is with history curriculum that Michael Gove reformed a lot of it, so it was focused more on Britain because Britain's got all the important history.
Came from a threat to British identity, didn't it? I know. And then look how well that's doing.
A lot of history gets glamorized as well within especially in primary school lessons. And then as you get older and you learn more, it's just oh, that wasn't so great.
Yeah.
is all very much like our boys went off to war and then.
Yeah. I think that's what I was thinking about, and I meant to pick it up. One thing for me is like, I'm a real fan of the poppy. I think it's a really good thing. I think for me it means more than just the world war. It means, you know, I wear it for everybody that's dying everywhere around the world today. But the problem I had with the poppy for a great number of years was that the generation that fought in the war saw the poppy as a symbol of their victory over Germany. Mm. And that wasn't what it was about. That was, and I think there's an argument for smashing all the monuments of, and you're two historians, I'm interested to see what you think about this. Because there's an argument when you've got any bad thing that's happened in the world, do you destroy the monuments to it so that it's gone, or do you keep them as kind of, you know, not to forget about history? Because for me, I would have wanted all trace of Hitler eradicated, you know.
Well, the Germans did do a lot of that, and it's a really interesting question, actually, but I think it's difficult one to balance, because there was a similar thing at Oxford University recently with a statue of a colonialist. I forgot his name. Yeah. He's Rhodes.
Yeah.
Cecil Rhodes.
Cecil Rhodes, that's the one, yeah. And the whole debate should be up there. And I really do see both sides, because the one aspect is sort of remembering the past. The other aspect is being respectful of the present, and it's a difficult one to weigh up, really.
I think with monuments, I think, as long as there's like sort of an explanation of the history like near it or around it, then that's important. Because if it's just a monument with a name, then it's completely like you won't know who it is, and you'll think like, oh, that's probably like a great person. But I think that's why museums are so important, because then you get an actual explanation of the history, and then you're not just like looking at a figure as if they were great when the history could be completely different.
To clarify, you definitely should have like just a statue of Hitler there. That's just
I definitely don't think personally we should go around knocking down any monuments that of a past we disagree with, only because that's a form of erasure, and then that's a step towards denial, isn't it? So I think we have to keep these tangible reminders of history, as long as you put them in context with explanations.
This is URN.